Smith often says that his first pastor advised him when he surrendered to preach that you don't know much, but preach what you know. And that's how I feel. I don't know much, so I'm going to preach what I know. Amen. Some of you may have heard part of this message before, but I feel the Lord wanted you to hear it again.
Amen, brother.
I'd like to turn our Bibles, if we would, to the book of 1 Peter. Our pastor has preached a great deal from this book and blessed me more than ever before. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to read verse 1 through verse 5. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When I preached on this before, I sort of titled it Reservations Guaranteed. And I thought I've retitled it today, Reservations by Special Arrangement. In verse 4, it says, to an inheritance that we have incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, we've all seen places that reserve seating, restaurants, stadiums, weddings, and so forth. They're guaranteeing a place. I looked up the word reserved in the dictionary, and that's what it says there. It says kept by special arrangement. And I began to think about that special arrangement that had taken place. My inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled. It fadeth not away, and it's kept by that special arrangement. It was not arranged by me or reserved by me, nor could it be. I'd like to turn over in Romans, if you would, chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, it says in verse 19, now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then in verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I truly fell short. Nothing I could ever do. In Isaiah chapter 64, it tells us that our righteousness or my good deeds are as filthy rags. So I couldn't arrange this myself. Nor could you arrange it for me.
Right, amen.
However many people think they can today arrange it for someone else. My parents could not make this arrangement or these reservations for me either. But many think that they can make them for their children today. They tell you if you do this, you'll be all right. If you get baptized, you'll be okay. Keep the commandments, you'll be all right. Join the church, and you'll be all right. Everything will be fine as long as you're a member of a so-called church. But see, the church can't make these reservations or arrangements for you either.
Amen.
Baptism alone does not guarantee these reservations or these arrangements. It tells us in Romans, if you'll turn there, chapter 10, in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says nothing here about baptism. Nothing at all. You see, the thief on the cross had neither baptism nor church membership.
Amen.
And his reservation was made and arranged for him. In fact, it was prearranged for him. Your pastor can't do it for you either. In fact, there's nothing you or I or anyone could do to ever deserve or earn this reservation or keep it. It's kept by a special arrangement. Some questions I'd like to ask. Who made the arrangements? When were they made? Why were they made? How were they made? And how do you know they were made? Let's look to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see, starting with verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He," talking about God there in verse, "He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." See, this is the one who made the arrangements. Our Heavenly Father made these arrangements. And it tells us here that they were made when? They were made before He formed the world, that these arrangements were made. They were made that way because I never could or never would choose Him. And verse 4 tells us there that He chose me before the foundation of the world. You see, I had no say. I had no choice. I was not even there at the time the arrangements were made. Why were they made? Verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." That's why the reservations were made. Not by my will. I would never have sought Him. In Romans chapter 3, turn back there if you would, in verse 10 and 11 it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Neither would I have." And also over in John, if you'll turn there, I'd like to read a couple verses. In John chapter 1, in verse 12 it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God."
Amen.
It's all prearranged by Him. Nothing that I could do or you could do. And it tells us over also in John chapter 6 and verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." How were these arrangements made? Let's go back there to Ephesians there again. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, they were made by Jesus Christ. It says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." And how were they made again? Who made them? And in verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins." They were made through the blood of Jesus Christ, His sacrifice on the cross. "By the riches of His grace," it says, "according for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Totally undeserved. "Not by anything I could or ever would do, lest I should boast." Tells us that over in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "No, God did not look down through time into the future and say, He'll make a good Christian. I'll pick that one. Or I can know what He's going to do, so I'll pick him. It was not by anything I ever would or ever could do." In Romans chapter 9, I'd like to read one verse there. In chapter 9 and verse 11, "As for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 9 and 10, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, or nothing that I ever would or could do, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought the immortality to light through the gospel." Nothing that I ever could do. Now, many people think that they can confirm this today. The confirmation has already been done. Many think that they can take their child and have some water sprinkled on it and confirm these arrangements. But they were already confirmed for me. The only confirmation that takes place is in me knowing it with my heart, and in you accepting it and knowing it within yours. Let's turn back again to Romans chapter 10. Read that again. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." And that's the confirmation that takes place within your own heart. And in Ephesians chapter 1, again, if you'll turn there and read in verse 13. "In whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." And in verse 14, "which is the earnest of our inheritance." Brother Titus has often preached on this and mentioned this earnest, and I had never thought of it as an earnest payment or a down payment or a guarantee. And that's what he has done, is guaranteed this reservation for us.
Amen.
Not by anything we could do. Now, did God do all this and hope that I would be there for that reservation? Nor is this a blank reservation for just any unspecified amount of people. This reservation is personal.
Amen, brother.
And it is guaranteed. When our Lord and Savior called Zacchaeus, he called him by name.
Amen.
In 1 Peter there again, if we look, First Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "Who are kept by the power," well, excuse me, verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So it's personal, it's for you. There was a time a while back I had a discussion with my uncle, and he's in his 80s, and he asked me how I could believe in the eternal security of the believer, a doctrine that he couldn't understand. And I tried to quote John 6:37 to him. I'd like to turn there and read it. It says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And I tried to quote that to him as best I could without my Bible. And he said, "Well, you cast yourself out." And then all I could think is salvation with works, the devil's doctrine, robbing him of all the glory due him. And I wish I would have had my Bible and I would have turned to these verses in Galatians and read these things to him. If we would turn there to the book of Galatians. And I think of these first verses where he starts out, where Paul is writing, and he said in verse 7, let's start with verse 6 of chapter 1. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that calleth you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we are an angel of heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And that's what they've done. They've perverted the gospel by trying to put something with it, that your efforts or your works can have anything to do with it. And then it goes on in this chapter, in chapter 2, and it talks about false brethren in verse 4 brought in the church, who brought this false doctrine in. And then in verse 16 of chapter 2, it says that knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then in verse 21 he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He would have died in vain. And then he says in verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn or ask of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And this is the verse that I wish I would have read. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, ye are now made perfect by the flesh? See, I couldn't guarantee these reservations by anything that I had done. Can you imagine if you could cast yourself out and cancel these reservations? Turn to John chapter 14, if you would. Jesus speaking to the church here, to his apostles. In verse 1 of John chapter 14, he said, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Did he say, I hope to see you there? I hope you make it? No, he didn't. He says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's gone to prepare a place for me. Will it sit empty? No. Because he's coming to get me. To make sure that I'm going to fill that place. Otherwise, God made a mistake in preparing that place for me. And if he said, And if I go, I will come again, and I'll receive you. And then turn back to John there, and I'd like to read a couple more verses in John chapter 6. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then he said there in verse 37, And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I looked up this word in no wise. Never. Certainly not. Not at all. By no means. No wise cast out. And then what did he say in verse 39? And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing. And then in verse 40 he said, I will raise him up the last day. I am so thankful I cannot cast myself out. I cannot cancel this reservation. If it relied on my abilities, I would have lost it the day I received it. But we are kept by the power of God. In John chapter 10, in verse 27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. Brother Titus has many times used the illustration that he's got us in his hand, and then the Father's hand is over it. And as I thought about how my children would want something many times when I was growing up, and I would hold it in my hand, and they couldn't get it out unless I'd let them. There's no way that we can get ourselves out of our Father's hand. If we do, we make ourselves stronger than Him. I know I couldn't keep these arrangements that He has made. We would put Him to shame if He were not able to keep us. It tells us over in Hebrews chapter 6 that if we could lose our salvation, I'd like to turn there and read that if we would. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4 says, For it is impossible, basically states it right there, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to open shame. To me, that explains it. I couldn't understand those for years till the Lord gave me the understanding of it. See, I know that I couldn't keep these arrangements. He's the keeper of my salvation. My Lord and Savior is the one who is the keeper of my salvation. He's the planner, the designer, and the finisher. In fact, over here in Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us that He is the author and the finisher of our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And what did He say when He died on the cross? It's finished. It's over. There's nothing that you have to do. It's done. The only thing you have to do is believe and trust in Him. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul understood this, that he couldn't keep it. And turn to 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 1, and verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So Paul's trust was in Him. His confidence was in Him. If we turn over into the book of Jude, turn to the last part of the book of Jude, to verse 24. In verse 24 it says, now unto Him, our Lord and Savior, that is able to keep you from falling. He is the keeper of my salvation. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before Him. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to stand there and have Him present me all washed up and fault-free. Yeah. To present me faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. He will keep me. I know I'm going to get there. I know I'm going to fill that reservation. And you could say, well, Mark, how do you know? I know it because He's given me that witness in me.
Amen, brother.
In John chapter 5, it tells us there that you can have it too. In verse 10, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have. And to me, I've got wrote already right above that. That ye may have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then in verse 14, I've got to read the first part because it tells me where my trust is. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. It's not within me. It's within Him. That's where my confidence lies. Now in the book of Jude, It also tells us about another reservation.
Amen.
The book of Jude, chapter, verse 11. It says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perishing for the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." There is another reservation for those who do not trust Him. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Him and you haven't trusted in Him and you're trusting in anything else, you will have another reservation awaiting you. But for those who have, we have this promise. The promise that He gave us. First He said there, as we read in Peter, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And there is no stronger power than His. His guarantee, we read you that Christ gave over in John. I'd like to read there again in John chapter 14. Many times I skipped over this first verse and didn't realize even what He was saying there. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Might as well said, "Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about anything. I've got it taken care of. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Guaranteed reservations by Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, brother.